Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message.
So good having you all at church this morning. So good. My name's Matt Lilly, lead pastor here at Coast Vineyard Church, and certainly is good to see you all. Good to be here. Wanted to say, just to, so you don't need to say it to me, is that yes, I know this shirt does look good on me. Okay. Doesn't matter where I go, someone will come up. That shirt looks really good on you. It's like, thank you very much.
Anything looks good on you.
So we'll Okay, why don't we pray? God, we just invite you again to open our hearts to what you would plant in us this morning. God, we come to you as your people, the family of God, people that are so grateful for all that you've done for us. So God, we just ask that you would speak to us and lead us more into your ways, your life, your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Hey, let me tell you about Johnny. Who wants to hear about Johnny? Okay. So Johnny ended up in prison. But Johnny was a man with fire in his belly and a calling on his life to tell people to turn from their wicked ways and to turn to God. And he told people about God's Savior, Jesus. Johnny baptized people. In fact, he baptized so many people that they ended up calling him Johnny the Baptist. Or John the Baptist, actually. John the Baptist. Which you read about in the Bible. If you're familiar with the Bible, we read about John the Baptist in the Gospels. But let me tell you about Andy. Okay, Andy. He was also... So we're just looking at John chapter 1, where Andy is in there. And Andy was a guy, you might know him as Andrew, but Andy was what his friends call him. So, but Andy was interested in spiritual things, okay? And he got excited about what Johnny was preaching, and he started hanging around with Johnny and learning from him. And then there's this one day where Andy is hanging out with Johnny, and Johnny says, "That guy," because Jesus arrived. And he said, "That guy, there he is, the Lamb of God." And Andy, he was a smart guy. He's thinking like, I really like what Johnny was saying, enough to like hang out and learn from him and learn about God and the things of God. And he's thinking, if Johnny says that this guy is the Lamb of God, then I'm going to start following that guy. And Andy went and spent the day. It says he hung out with Jesus, spent the whole day with Jesus. But then what happened? Then what happened is that, and this is the bit that's important for us today, okay? Is that straight after Andy went and found his brother, Simon Peter. Simo to his friends, okay? That's the one thing. Who's watched the Chosen TV series? It's the one thing they didn't get right because it was all Andy and Simo and Johnny. Well, maybe. Anyway, Simon Peter. And he said to him, "I have found the Messiah." And he bought Simon Peter to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. One invitation. And Simon Peter, he meets Jesus and becomes a believer. And for those of you that are familiar with the story of the Gospels and the early church, Simon Peter was a guy who he had his ups and downs in terms of his life of faith. You know, he had some... That's the challenge with being someone that ends up becoming an incredibly influential person in the early Christian church, a lot of what happened was recorded. And Simon Peter, in his journey of faith, he stumbled and he made mistakes, but he ended up becoming the head of the Christian church in Jerusalem, and one of the key apostles in the early church. But it was from one invitation, from Andy. It says, come and see Jesus. And if you carry on in John chapter 1 in the Gospels, you see this other guy, Phil. We're good at shortening names, aren't we, Kiwis? We're good at that. I was just saying the other day, it's like, my name's Matt, actually Matthew, you probably guessed, but like, if anyone calls me Matthew, it's just like, what? I've been Matt for a long time. So Phil, we read that Jesus is heading up to Galilee, and he's having big conversations with Phil. And then he says to Phil, he says, you know what, you follow me. You follow me as well. And Phil gladly said, in you I find life. And then what does Phil do? Phil goes to find his mate, Nathaniel. What do you think they called Nathaniel? Nate, maybe? So Nate. And he says, Nate, bro, we have found the one who is going to save us. We have found the one that all of our scriptures have prophesied about. We have found the one. It's Jesus of Nazareth. And I don't know if you've done much study about Israel, you know, geographically or socioeconomically around the time of Jesus, but let me just tell you a little bit about. So we'll put up a little map of Israel. This is the map of Israel. That's today, that's Israel. So all of the orange, that's Israel. The grey bits is mostly inhabited by Palestinians. So you've got the West Bank's the big one, West Bank, because it's the west side of the Jordan River. You've got the Gaza Strip, the little bit of grey there. A lot of news about the Gaza Strip at the moment. And boy, that's a tough situation. We won't go into that for today. But then Egypt to the south, Jordan, the country of Jordan on the other side of the Jordan River, over to the east there, you've got Syria in the northeast, and then Lebanon, the yellow bit in the north. Okay, so that's Israel kind of today. So then if we look at it back in the day of Jesus, they didn't have all those borders, but there was these two areas. There's a number of areas. There's the areas there, so you've got Judea in the orange, and that's like, so Jerusalem's the center of Judea. It's kind of, so like, this is not a super great comparison, but it's kind of like, Judea is kind of like Greater Auckland, okay, for New Zealand. It's where it all happens. Well, where a lot of stuff happens. So it's like, you know, we've got the people, we've got the beaches, we've got the skyscrapers, we've got everything. So that's kind of Judea is where, so back in the time of Jesus, it was the historical center of all of Israel's kings. It was where the temple was, so it's the spiritual center where it's just where all the big dogs hang out in Judea, okay? So, and then to the north of that, you've got this region of Samaria, which is where the Samaritans lived. You heard the story about the Good Samaritan? So he was a Samaritan from Samaria. Okay, so that's him. And Samaria is more like bad. It's more like probably like the Waikato. Okay? I said nothing. But it's like, it's not quite as full on as like cranking as Auckland. And you've got Hamilton there. And Hamilton's the biggest city. What are you laughing about? Hey. My future son-in-law is from Hamilton. He's a good guy, all right? He's a good guy. Yes. So that's Samaria. It's just not quite as important as Judea, okay? And then you've got Galilee, which is north again of Samaria, and it's just that sort of punches right up. It's next to the Sea of Galilee that you can see the lake there, and it borders Lebanon in the north. And Galilee's kind of more like, like maybe like Manawatu. you know, just like Heartland, New Zealand, you know, all the good old boys, rugby and, you know, farming. Anyway, we've got Phil, and back to the story in the Gospels, we've got Phil saying to Nat, I've found the Savior. I've found the Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, the thing is, Nazareth is right in the middle of Galilee, or just to the south of Galilee. It's in Galilee, it's in Manawatu. And Nat says, like Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Who's here from the Manawatu? We love you. Like, it's a cool place. Welcome to Auckland. So Nate's super skeptical. He's just like, what? And again, just grab a hold of this today. Phil says to him these three profound words. He says, come and see. Come and see. And you know what? Nate did come and see. And he met Jesus and he became a believer and a follower. One invitation changed Nate's life. Jacinda, who was up here earlier telling us about the Pentecost prayer. We're married. It's my first wife, my only wife. And we've been married coming up on 34 years. But I met her a long, long time ago. I think when she was about 17, first met her. And we have mutual friends, so we met. But back when I met her, her faith wasn't part of her journey, at that stage. And but when she was about 20 years old, she's given me permission to share a little bit about this. She would describe herself as, you know, being far from God. And a friend, a mutual friend of hers and mine, invited her to Easter camp. Easter camp. And she came because our mutual friend and myself and some others were in a band playing at Easter camp. And we got a photo. Yeah. So here's the thing about our band. We were rubbish. But we thought we were cool, okay? And whether we were or not is very, very debatable. But because Jacinda knew us, she says, I'll come along to Easter camp. And she made a decision, I'll come and listen to the music, I'll try not to listen to the guys talking, because I know what they're going to say, talk about God. I'll shoot away early. But there was something about her being at that thing where God somehow grabbed her heart, and she went home after that camp back to Hamilton and had this remarkable encounter with God where he grabbed a hold of her heart and spoke words of life to her that just turned her whole life around. And amazing. One invitation to come along to Easter camp changed her life. You know, we read in the scriptures that after the resurrection of Jesus, you know, the great Easter story of Jesus being crucified and then raised from life, seen by hundreds of people, it's recorded. The Son of God is alive. You know, he defeated death. And some of his last words that he shared before he was no longer physically present was this, and we see that in Matthew 28. He says, therefore, go. I think have we got the scripture there? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Yes, he will be with us. Yes,
He forgives our sin when we confess and repent. Yes, he has promised to walk with us. Yes, he has given us the Holy Spirit, the power and the love of God to, you know, within us. Yes, he transforms us, but yes, he also gives us a commission. He says, don't keep this to yourself. Don't keep it to yourself. You know, a life of faith is about, you know, it's about prayer, like we're talking about, and walking and knowing and with God, which this year we're kind of calling that's our up. But it's also that he is, it's also the go. Go and find people, invite them into the family of God. It's this up and go that we've been talking about this year. That's how, yeah, it's up and go. And the other cool thing is that, like, Sanitarium have helped us with our up and go. And they've made a product for us to help remind you. Anyway, was anyone here today early and needs something? Well, they missed out on breakfast. Now, there's one there. Anyone else? There's two. Okay, I'm going to throw these both at the same time. You better be good. Yeah, two from two. Was anyone else here early and they need an up and go? Come on. I won't throw it. If you're in the back, I won't throw it all that way. But surely there was somebody, a setup cruise or something. So come on up and get one. Come on up and get one. Who else? Come on, I've got three more. It's like, good work, buddy. Worship team, anyone? Yeah. Let's give it a hand to Jono leading us in worship this morning. It's so good. Up and go. It's both. That's our calling. We've called to go. You know, I shared some statistics during my What's Ahead message in February about how, you know, 83% of people started coming to church because of an invite by a friend or a relative. Sometimes that's the same thing, a friend or a relative. Sometimes it's different. By a friend, 82% of unchurched are at least somewhat likely to attend church if invited. And there's something like 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited to church in their whole lives. Recent studies in Australia, and you know, we know they're a very ungodly nation. No, we love the Australians. God blesses their cricket team though, which is very annoying. But recent studies in Australia, about half of people are open to being invited to church. So many people, just one invitation away. And like, not everyone's going to come if we invite them, but many will. And I know, again, I said it a couple of months ago, just coming to church is not doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're going to be launching into this life of faith in God, but I tell you, it's something profoundly inspiring and stirring and challenging about seeing God's people together, loving each other, doing life together, worshiping together, praying together, learning together, growing together, people of different ages and stages in life, people, you know, the rich and the poor, the old and the young. But yeah, like I say, not all of them will come. I saw on just this week on Quora.com, you know, that's where you ask questions and everyone gives their answers. Yes, I saw this question on there, like, where is it? It said, how do you politely decline a church invitation? someone else's, one of their friends has obviously listened to this message as well. In the last few days for you, was there someone that maybe God put in front of you that you could invite them to something? We talked about these six groups of people. It's like, keep an eye out. Like, God may be bringing these people to you. The uncommitted, the unconvinced. You know, birds of a feather, the spiritually parched. Those new to the area. And those where there's like a divine connection, like a divine appointment, something that God just kind of has made happen. My neighbor, he knocked at my office is right down the bottom of the garden in my house. So my neighbor, like, no one even knows it's there. It's sort of tucked in. And my next door neighbor knocks on my door while I'm right in the middle of preparing this message. And he's about like inviting people. And I've been inviting him to things all year, and he seems kind of keen. And I think like, oh, I need to invite you to church this Sunday. But I'm thinking, but I'm talking about inviting people to church on Sunday. But we've got this, just in 2 weeks' time, which is, this is the one I'm going to invite him to. In 2 weeks' time, we've got a guest speaker coming, a pastor, his name's Tafri Little John. He's up in Kaiwaka. This guy, let me tell you, like, God is on this guy. Like, is a remarkable, remarkable story of how he came to faith. Like amazing story. He was just living his life and just had this remarkable encounter with God. And just turned his life around, and now he's, you know, a follower of Jesus, and he's a pastor up in Kaiwaka. But just what's happening up in Kaiwaka, incredible, like a revival is happening up in Kaiwaka. And it's just going to be just so good to just hear his story of what God's doing and just what God's done in his life and what God's doing up in that area. So I'd encourage you as well, if you've got thinking about inviting someone to come along, that would be a great Sunday to do that. So. But what about just even this coming week? Like, eyes open, like, God, you know, every person we bump into may be someone that God has brought to us, has connecting us with a prepared heart. It's the thing, it'd be so nice, wouldn't it, as if there was some kind of, like, gauge or something, like, with LEDs. I'm like, you know, and it's like, these guys are cold towards God, and these guys are warm towards, you know, and we could go, oh, you know. But Jesus said there are people, lots of people, that are always in that place of, like, coming towards God, wanting to figure out their spiritual journey. You know, he talked about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Talking about go and find people, help them to find God. And Jesus told this other incredible story. Again, we see it in the Gospels, to communicate the love that God has for people and how much God is wanting to just have his, just gather people into his family and to be able to know the love of God. And it's the parable about the king's wedding banquet, where he invited all of his friends, and so many of them had excuses and didn't come. And the king just says, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Anyone you find. Anyone you find. Anyone you find. Which is like, for us, it's just whoever we bump into. Invite anyone you find. And I know that inviting people to church is just one of the things I've been encouraging. And like I say, it's such a powerful witness to see the people of God together. But maybe a different invitation is the thing. Just to connect, you know. But my hope is this morning to plant in you fresh enthusiasm and inspiration to be inviting people in some way that helps them towards God. You know, maybe it's just like just hanging out with people and just being a bit more intentional about hanging out and seeing what conversations fire up. Maybe it's inviting them over home, you know, for a meal or to watch a game or watch a movie. Or maybe to your life group. Maybe that could work. Maybe to an alpha course, which we're going to be firing up again in term three. Have you ever heard of this magician duo called Penn and Teller? So, they are headliners in Las Vegas. Their shows are known for foul language, the shock value, you know. And Penn Jillette, he's the big guy, he's an outspoken atheist. And but they were interviewing at one time, and because someone had heard that someone had come up to him and given him a New Testament Bible and just said, you know, wrote in the front, say, hey, you know, enjoy your shows. This may, you know, thought you might like this. And people were asking him, was like, what do you think about like people giving you a Bible when you're such an when you're an atheist? And listen to this. Like, seriously, listen to this. He said, as an atheist, he said, I don't respect people who don't proselytize. Do you know what proselytize means? It's one of those funny words that you can, sounds like a medical operation. But like, proselytize means that you're trying to get someone to come to your faith. So you're trying to tell someone, like, you need to become a Christian. Or, you know, well, if it's a different faith, you need to become it. So proselytize means you're wanting, you're trying to tell someone to join your faith. You're trying to convert someone. So he says, I don't respect people who don't proselytize. What? He says, as an atheist, he said, if you believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to hell or getting eternal life or whatever, and you think it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? He said, how much do you have to hate? This is someone who doesn't believe. He's talking about your beliefs. How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? If I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. I became a Christian really when I was about 16 and a half. Gave my life fully to following God. And I started, from then on, I started trying to help people towards God. And to be honest with you, I've never really been that good at it, okay? I can remember, like, inviting my new next-door neighbor move in was my age. I remember inviting him to come along to my youth group and then forgetting about it and then just driving off. And he's like, would have watched me drive off and like, that's not very helpful. I remember taking a friend from school to a big evangelistic crusade. I think it was at Eden Park. We're at 17. The whole point of taking someone was that they hear the gospel and that they could perhaps come to faith. But we met these girls. And so we left early. I got involved in beach missions. Who's ever heard of beach missions? I know you have. It's like, if you haven't, like, you're lucky. It was like you'd go around and like talk to people who are sunbathing and then ask them if they want some sunscreen and ask, and then say, like, do you want to know about God? Beach missions. We used to do street dramas when we were kids. We'd like have a little play and we'd go to the shopping malls or the shopping centres and do this little play. But, you know, we started running some programs, youth programs for street kids, and we actually saw a number of them come to faith. It was amazing. At one stage, I left my job and went and played in a band with Youth for Christ, called, you know, Certain Sounds, traveling around schools and up and down the country and inviting people to follow Jesus. And I actually saw a lot of people come and give their lives to God. It was amazing. Just a real mixed bag of the journey. But what do each of us do? I think what we can do is we can just look to notice what God is putting in front of us, who God is putting in front of us, and just throwing out an invite. You know, people... So many people could just be one invitation away. And I tell you, if we do this, we will see more people step into the story of God, the story, and get to experience just the things that you've experienced in your journey of faith, just the goodness of God for themselves in their own life, and the promise of the abundant life with God, and also the promise of eternal life. John Wimber is the founder of the Vineyard Movement, and he grew up not having any kind of grid for faith in his family for generations. And he was a famous musician. He was actually part of the Righteous Brothers, which some of you may have heard of. His friends found faith and came to know God. And he got together with them, and he tells the story of his friends wanting to come and tell him and his wife Carol about God, but they're a bit nervous doing it. And so so they were driving out, because John was playing in Las Vegas. He's a musician, you know, late nights, and they drove from LA out to Las Vegas to tell them, they were so nervous that they, on the way, these friends of John's, they bought a bottle of whiskey to try and help steady their nerves so they could. And I think there wasn't much left by the time they arrived. But anyway, they told John, and then they said, "Well, what, could you come to church with us?" And John Wimber had never been to church in his life. And he sort of rocks up and talks about how they gave him a menu at the door. But he's just saying, like, "Where are the ashtrays?" It's like, come on, everyone's smoking there. Where are the ashtrays? And just tells the story of his experience going to church for the very first time. But what happened was that God, through that invitation, God put a hook in his heart, and he came to know God. And as a guy, he became an incredible evangelist and helped thousands of people to find faith. But his friends that needed a bottle of whiskey just to get the courage up to invite, you know, to talk to him about God, they just invited him. This church wouldn't be here if it wasn't, you know, for John Wimber. You know, you may have been invited, you may be here today, and you may have been invited by someone. And I know it's a bit of a funny message for you this morning, and thanks for hanging in here. But you may not be a person of faith, but you've been invited here today by someone who loves you and who cares for you and who wants the best for you. And this room is full of people who have found God and have said yes to knowing God and following God, are on this journey of walking with Jesus. And it's good. It is good. And I just want to say, like, if Jesus is always inviting people to make their peace with God, and if that is something today that you think, I want to make my peace with God, I'm just going to give you an opportunity in a moment just to respond to that. But what that means is, like, the promise of God is that as we bring who we are, all of our history, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we can bring it to God. We can bring confession for the things we've done wrong. We can bring our shame. We can bring our griefs. We can bring our fears. We can bring our hurts. We can bring them to God. And he says, like, He will wash away our wrongs as we confess and ask for forgiveness. And this is not just words. This happens. You will know that happened. You will know the difference. You'll experience the miraculous cleansing power of God in your life.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.